episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And before we get into our May of 91 Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Hell yeah.
I believe you wanted to talk about a wrestling game you've been playing.
I've been playing a few. I've been farting around on, my Retrocade. I got back into playing that. Because I was playing WWE 2K18.
I started playing that again.
Did
by
you?
The way. And,
oh, that's right, because you said you amended our characters.
Yeah, it gave us alternate outfits.
Nice. I haven't played that in a while. Just, I don't know, because I finally got to, here's the thing. So it took me forever to make all these characters. A lot of them I downloaded and tweaked. Some of them I also made like from scratch. I finally got around to doing it, and I made all these moves, and I finally started my season mode, which I encountered the thing that everybody said would happen, and that if you use custom arenas, it's going to crash your fucking game.
Yeah, yeah, it sure does.
And goddamn if it didn't.
Yeah, it sure does.
So I'm using, you know, the Live 91 arena, which is, thankfully that's in the game, the WWF Live 91, which is just like a random house show one, but I think that works for me. But I really hope they add something different in terms of like arenas. Like, they made the smaller arenas this year, this past game, but it would be really nice to have like a studio or something like that. I think if they're going to do like a theme, they should do like a Raw theme, because since it was the 25th anniversary of Raw, yeah, you could still celebrate like all these years of Raw. It's like 25 years of Raw. You know, because when the game comes out, technically still beat 25 years of Raw.
Yeah, do all the different Raw arenas.
Yeah. I want that. I mean, I feel like that's been like, I feel like that's probably been a project for them, but they've never done it. That they never had the old school Raw entrance, you know, and they do that, you know, just all those different entrances, you know, for the new generation, just all those different entrances, put them all in there, give us a bunch of matches from those things. You could do fucking 1-2-3 Kid versus Bret Hart. You can do Shawn Michaels. You could do the very first match. You could do Undertaker, Coco Beware versus Yokozuna.
Yeah, and then like...
Or if you want to... Okay, good.
No, if you're going to do that, have the announcers that coincide with the arenas at the announce table.
Like Rob Bartlett?
Yeah.
You want Rob Bartlett?
Like you have like Vince McMahon and Macho Man or whatever. Like they don't have to be doing the commentary. Just put them at the table.
You get somebody to do their voices.
Or you just have the Michael Cole commentary.
Yeah, but
with them at the table.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
I'd be fine. It's like Michael Cole here with but I'm Macho Savage or whatever. I think that'd be great. But I just want those arenas. I just want that aesthetic in the game. And that would, if they're not going to give me a studio audience, just give me that.
I want a studio audience.
I do want a studio audience because I desperately want to make just like a shitball fucking Memphis studio and just have my TV show, have my TV shows there, like my weekly TV, and then just put my weekly events, you know, the one main events, like just put them in the big arena, like a Mid-South thing. And then that's it. I just want to do that. I just want to do that, but we'll see. What else? I know for certain that we're definitely, I think the pre-order is definitely good. I feel like it's going to be, it's either one of two people. It's either Ronda Rousey or Owen Hart. If you watch the Hall of Fame, Mark Henry made a very strong plea to Martha while he was doing his acceptance speech to get Owen Hart into the Hall of Fame. That he should be, she's like, he should be here. And I think if there's one guy, because you're running out of people that are just big names to put as like, you know, like super like pre-orders. And I think he is definitely one of them. But since you got Ronda Rousey debuting, you know, I could see making that a big deal.
Yeah, she'll probably be a pre-order, and I'll never use her because I don't use the women.
I'll use her moves.
Yeah,
I'll use her moves somehow. I'll use it, whatever she uses as her judo throw, Samoan drop, whatever. You know, I'm certain I'll be some sort of animation that's different than others. But yeah, I haven't really been playing that recently. I have been playing some games on the Retrocade though. There's a few wrestling games that I didn't know existed. I found an FMW game
on
Famicom, but it's not really a wrestling game. It's a basically like a Street Fighter, but you're also Atsushi. Is it Atsushi Onita? I always get the first name wrong. But you're basically Onita, and you're basically a bunch of these other random guys in the game. And then if you go out, like if you get to the edge of the fighting, there's like explosions and shit. You know, it's pretty. I don't know. I have fun with it. I also played another one called Ring of Destruction, which is basically a Capcom game that sort of has these. It's basically like the FMW game, but like it's much easier to control. It's like playing Street Fighter. So it's actually that's a lot of fun.
So it's not. I'm aware of Saturday Night Slam Masters. So.
I played that.
Yeah,
that game. Look, I can't remember ever playing that in the arcade. I do remember it being different than the other games, because other wrestling games, because it had just one big button
yeah.
that you pressed, and you're supposed to do something with to that effect. It does not translate well to a console. At least in my opinion, it hasn't. I could not do squat. There's another game too that I saw on there that I didn't play, or I did play, but I didn't. It was like a Tecmo. It was like Taito. Is that how to say it? I think it was a Taito style game, but it was, and it looked like it was like a license, like had some sort of licensed characters. I can't remember what it was called, but. That one was tough, but there was one on there that I actually enjoyed, and I'm going to dig into more. It's called Knuckle Bash.
Oh, I never heard of that one.
But it's not a in the ring. You play you basically it's basically like a scrolling beat 'em up, but you're go on your way to be a wrestler. So it's kind of like that WWF Betrayal.
Yeah.
But like way better looking. Maybe I'll show it to you before we leave,
because okay,
I think you would really enjoy it. And basically you just do a bunch of wrestling moves, and then you fight a guy at the end, you fight a guy after at the end of the level, and you do a bunch of moves on them, and they have like the life, like it's like a Final Fight life bar and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you beat it's fun. So I'm gonna be digging into that. I like that one. But yeah, don't play Main Event. That one sucks. So
yeah, all right.
You know, let's take our break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Pro Wrestling Illustrated from May 1991.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? Bad. I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents, and we're very uninformed, so.
Oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast, because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
Okay, we are back, and we have Pro Wrestling Illustrated from May of 91. And it's an interesting cover.
I know.
It's not just one wrestler. It's WrestleMania 7 Shocker.
The wrestlers.
Who is secretly plotting to destroy Hulk Hogan prior to March 24th?
I don't know.
And you've got Randy Savage. Or is it the Ultimate Warrior? Is it Roddy Piper? Is it Sergeant Slaughter? Is it Earthquake?
Is it the Denver Broncos?
South Park reference.
I was hoping you would pop. You never pop for any jokes, man. I lay out this gold, and you just no sell it like all the time, and then I have to, and then you pop for it afterwards.
It took me a second to figure it out, and then I was like, oh yeah, South Park reference. Yeah,
we gotta be quick on this.
And then, but it's got like a photo of Hogan just laid out in the ring, and he's being attended to by physicians.
Where is this? It looks like it's after a match.
Yeah, it's in. You can see the ring rope, so it wasn't the Brother Love show. So I don't know, when did Hulk Hogan get laid out in a ring? It's kind of weird looking.
That's a good question, because I would, was it Bundy? Because that could be from any era.
Yeah.
That could be the when he got laid out by Bundy.
Yeah, and he's got like spit all over his face.
Oh, man.
And he's just laid out. And there's a couple of guys, and they got...
You know Rene Goulet is there.
It's just a couple of guys who I don't know. You can't make out who they are. One of them's African American for sure, and he's got a blue hat on.
It's Mel Phillips.
And they're just taking Hogan.
I do want to say the picture that they use of Ultimate Warrior here is the variation of his face paint, where he would just paint the small warrior symbol on the side of his face. And that always aggravated me.
Yeah, he was half-assing it.
Because he was half... Well, clearly, okay, look. He's doing... This is, like, the picture they're using. Like, he's at a... you can tell he's out in public. Like, he's at, like a probably, like, a function or just something. You know, he's out in public. They took his picture. And he was out there repping the Warriors. So, you know, instead of going whole hog and putting the whole face paint on himself, he's just got the small one on his face. And that always bothered me. And I also didn't, like... I was not as big of a fan of him painting it on his chest.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
I always just like, you know what? Just paint it on your face. Just give me, you know, a few things or whatever. Just give me a few different colors. You know, I feel like, you know, when he first started, he had some variation. He went like crazy neon at some point, but, you know, with a lot of pink and green, like, you know, neon green. But when he first started out, it was like a lot of basic colors, and it wasn't bad. I thought that was always a good look.
Yeah,
I can go through and rate a number of Ultimate Warrior face paints, because that's what we would do on the show. I
liked it like once in a while, like in his early days, where it would be like all one big solid green.
Yeah.
And then eventually it'd be the big solid green, but then he'd have like a red outline around it. And
yeah,
that'd be about it. And then it became a little more elaborate after that.
Well, the minimum ones. Like he, mm-hmm. like I think when he first debuted, like in 87 in the WWF, he was like yellow tights, and he had just had a very basic, like black with just very blank, very basic stuff. Have you ever seen that match where he debuts?
Yeah, and he walks to the ring.
He walks to the ring. He's just like, ah! But he's just walking, just like, ah, the Warrior. Because when he was in the World Class, he didn't run.
No.
He just kind of, there wasn't that far to run either. He just walked to the ring. And if you go back and watch some of that World Class stuff when he was Dingo, that's kind of funny, because he was like super babyface, where he'd be like, hey, kids, I'm going to look for some mini warriors to accompany me to the ring. And you just get some kid and like paint their face and like make them stand there shirtless with him. It was, old school Ultimate Warrior is actually very interesting. If you've been watching before he was super face, he was actually a heel, like sort of a heel. And, it's pretty good. And I kind of wanted to see more of it. I wish there was way more of that, but nonetheless, so WrestleMania Shocker, these men could kill Hulk Hogan. Then at the top, and very small, this, you figured this would be a bigger thing, but it's just, I don't know actually why they just didn't make this, like, why, I mean, I understand why, but in terms of scope, the small headline at the top, Ric Flair captures his 7th NWA world title, should be the big thing on the front.
I feel it should be big, and then this thing could be like
on the bottom somewhere.
On the bottom, like text only. We don't need to see the photos of all these wrestlers. It could just be who is secretly plotting to destroy Hulk Hogan before WrestleMania 24. I don't need to see the wrestlers they think it is. Just put that and make Ric Flair beating Sting as the big photo. That's how I would have done it. Stu Sachs, I know you're listening to us. That's how you should have done it.
Well, let's just jump right to this
here. 30 years after the fact, Stu, go back and
I want a re-release of this book. I want you to redo this book. PWI still making magazines. I could still get them. Go to Ralph's and buy mine. I want to see this package with the latest issue. And I want you to re-release it with the Flair on the top.
I haven't seen them at Ralph's lately.
They're there.
Okay, I just gotta look, I guess.
Yeah, you gotta look hard. So here's that picture again of Hogan.
He's just laid out. Now we have a color photo of it. And we see, let's see.
It's a different angle of what we saw on the front. I can't necessarily tell.
So the guys have New York State emblems on their shirts.
Okay.
So this happened. It's got to be Madison Square Garden, I'd imagine. So when did Hulk Hogan get taken out at the Garden?
Did he get beat up by like Boss Man or something? Or was it Dino Bravo? Because Dino Bravo laid out Hogan once.
Was it Zeus?
Oh, maybe it was Zeus. Zeus snapped his neck.
There's no context. There's no caption.
Well, look, they have the neck brace here.
Yeah.
So maybe that Zeus did do the damage.
Yeah.
You know what? Good call.
I think it was Zeus. Now, does the stretcher have like an emblem on it? No, it doesn't. It's just got numbers. It would have been cool if it had like an emblem. Where did Hulk Hogan get laid out prior to 91 in New York? That's what I need to know.
I think it was Zeus. I think that's a good picture. Because that picture could be from any time.
Yeah.
So we can do that from anywhere. There's also this, I just want to point out, Kostya Kennedy wrote this article. I think she went on to write for like Sports Illustrated.
Oh.
Because I remember seeing like Peter King also was a longtime writer and editor of pro wrestling, of the After Mags. He went on to that stuff too. So, but yeah, WrestleMania 7 Shocker, who's secretly plotting to destroy Hulk Hogan. So we have all the people we mentioned on the cover, in addition to Dino Bravo and Jimmy Hart.
Yeah. I like how they have Roddy Piper from like early 80s or mid 80s Roddy Piper. They have Macho Man from like circa 89. They're all not wearing the right outfits for their time period. They have
Slaughter's like wearing
Babyface Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah, that's an AWA Slaughter if I ever saw one. And you got the Warrior with that stupid thing on his cheek with his giant hair.
Yeah, at least it's like a recent photo of Warrior and Jimmy Hart probably too.
So basically, we're just talking about how Hogan's gonna get taken out. They think Hogan might get taken out by a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a legit gripe from Earthquake and Dino Bravo, because that's who he was feuding with prior to WrestleMania 7.
It's true. Dino Bravo had a really good 1990.
Yeah.
In retrospect.
Yeah, he was Earthquake's like partner in crime, and Earthquake was the monster heel, and then Dino Bravo was just right there with him.
Dino Bravo got like all sorts of matches. He was wrestling against Hogan. He wrestled against Hogan.
He headlined Hogan again at house shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Prior to SummerSlam. So
yeah, don't cry for Dino. Yeah, there you go, Dino getting. Yeah, I mean Dino had a pretty good program with Hogan too, because he did take Hogan out. I think was it the Royal Rumble where he put him in the. I remember there was a thing on TV where he had, or definitely I saw pictures of it, where Hogan, he had Hogan in he beat Hogan up and he had him in the bear hug, but it was as such where he was laying on top of Hogan while still holding the bear hug, like, which I think would probably alleviate some of the pressure, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, I've never had a body vice on me while on the floor, so I can't say. But we go through a bunch of different options here. Sergeant Slaughter.
That would make the most sense because Slaughter was the champ and Hogan was
No. Slaughter was not the champion at this time.
Oh.
So Warrior was still the champ.
Oh, this was prior to the Royal Rumble?
Prior to the Rumble, but very close because Flair. So, I ripped this back. I ruined it. It's in here somewhere. but we're not. Yeah, we're talking about Flair and
Sting.
And Sting. So Flair and Sting were, I'm going to find this, like, because I want to be accurate. Where are my goddamn ratings? Ratings, where are you? I always forget where they are in these magazines. Ah, here we go. This is, oh, come on. We are January 18th, and I think the Royal Rumble was like a week or so later.
Oh, okay.
And, so Savage, so Slaughter was, on the come up, and you know, he was Hogan. Hogan was Mr. USA, and Slaughter was anti-USA. So
makes
of course
sense.
It makes sense. Savage and Hogan, of course, that makes sense. Piper and Hogan, you know, Piper's got
didn't really make sense at this time. But
didn't make sense at this time, but they're like, Piper's got a good memory, and he probably still hates Hogan. So why not? Earthquake and Jimmy Hart, that makes sense. And the Warrior, the argument is that the Warrior is upset that he didn't get enough of the spotlight while as champion, and
that's on the Warrior.
That's on the Warrior. The Warrior gonna draw shit.
Yeah.
So, jumping to the next story here. Let AWA get stripped of world title.
I tweeted that out during Backlash because that drew my attention more than the main event of Backlash.
This is a really big headline here.
It's a big headline, but I think they're making it a bigger deal than what it actually was because the AWA was pretty much done by this time.
But to understand, I guess you would have to understand the scope of what the AWA was to the After Mags for 30 years up to this point. You know, it was such an institution, you know, for their coverage and just a part of, you know, what pro wrestling magazines were. You know, it was the big three, WWF, WCW, or NWA, AWA. And for the AWA to just basically just end like it did, just wither away, is was probably really hard for, I would imagine, really hard for the folks at that place. I mean, I'm probably making it a bigger deal too, but yeah. But I feel like Stu Sachs, who gets shouted out here, says he made the announcement.
Oh, the one. It was his decision.
So Stu might have something to say. Stu would probably, we should ask Stu.
I think you made the correct decision, Stu. Yeah. I feel like by this time, AWA was nothing, and stripping it of its world title recognition was a good idea. I just don't think that you needed to make a 2-page spread in a magazine.
You got a three-page.
Okay, yeah, I don't think it needed that much.
However, though, I do want to say we did get this photo of Larry Zbyszko giving a sunset flip from over the top rope, which I feel like is pretty impressive for Larry Zbyszko at any point.
Yeah.
Larry Zbyszko at any point in from 1980 on or something.
I used Larry Zbyszko just last night in WWE 2K18.
I like that he's in that game. I like that he's just there.
But Arn Anderson's not.
No, he should. We should get an AWA. We should get a late 1990s AWA 1990 AWA gimmick pack. I want that. Luthez wrestled Masahiro Chono.
A very young Masahiro Chono.
I didn't realize how young Masahiro was. Well, Chono was here. He was 27.
Yeah.
And Luthez was 74. And we get a lot of, probably, I guess I would assume, the most generous shots of this match, because I've never actually seen this match. But from what I understand, it was not that good.
It was like 5 minutes and Masa Chono won.
Yeah. But
all three photos are of Luthez putting him in a pile driver of some sort.
He's giving a pile driver. He looks like he's giving a side gut wrench suplex, and then it also looks like he's
taking a back body drop.
Taking a back body drop, or maybe he's getting flipped out of the pyro driver.
I'm looking at it upside down. So
I think all these pictures assume that he's giving a pile driver.
This looks like a pile driver to me.
It could. Yeah, it looks like he's giving it into space.
Yeah.
But yeah, Luthez came back. Yeah, here he is. He's giving looks like a side suplex. He's doing a bridge. He's getting a belly to belly here. Although he's giving a Thez press here. It looks
okay.
It's there's a lot of action in this match for apparently 6 minutes. You already talked about our Hulk Hogan chucker. There's some good color photos in here, by the way. Let's talk about Ric Flair. Seventh NWA title.
I love the way this article is like laid out. So it's like centerfold style.
Yeah.
With the text underneath the photo of Ric Flair just bloody carrying the belt back with Doug Dillinger. But then like you have Sting and it's probably tossing him off the top rope.
But we see no ring.
But there's no ring. Like they photoshopped them like out of the ring. So they're just like in the middle of the white page.
I like it.
It's amazing. I love it.
I want to say that I like this a lot because it's just a bold experimental. I mean, it's just a different way to look at this.
Yeah.
Like, instead of, like, just, like, oh, here's on one page and you got the others, whatever. Interesting layout choice. And a great photo, by the way, of Flair being bloody. I feel like I've seen this match, but Jesus Christ, Flair got, look at that. That's a good old school bloody.
Yeah.
Bloodying up right there of Flair. But, yeah, Flair won in the Meadowlands. Sting wasn't drawing shit for NWA, just like Warrior didn't draw shit for WWF, at least at that time.
The Blade Runners don't draw shit. Nah. That's what we learned out of that.
Nah, man. And Harley Race steps in here to say, they get a little sidebar, says, Harley Race, Ric Flair is still not the greatest.
Oh, look at that. Throwing some shade at Ric Flair is Harley Race. So.
Well, because Harley Race, because Flair won it for seventh title. And so here's the thing, though, is that technically, I mean, there's other unrecognized title changes that would make this more. But Flair, basically Race is like, Flair's not the best because he just tied my record. He's not the best. That would eventually change.
Yeah.
So, because Flair would go on to win it 16 times. Rick Steamboat One more to go. The WWF Intercontinental title, U.S. Heavyweight title, NWA title, and now the WWF World title? You think you can
question
win?
Mark?
Question mark.
WWF World title? Question mark.
PWI wanted Rick Steamboat to win the world title, the WWF World title, so bad.
Yeah.
But never at any point was Rick Steamboat, I feel like never at any point Rick Steamboat would have been in a position to do that.
If you listen to the DVD, the fantasy booking with Kevin Sullivan, how he would have booked the WWF in 1984 if Hulk Hogan hadn't showed up, Ricky Steamboat would have had that title run.
I could see that.
Before losing the title at the end of the year to superstar Billy Graham.
Really?
That is how Kevin Sullivan was going to book it.
Wait, we're talking 84 Billy yes. Graham was going to win the title
yes,
back?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, man. See, okay.
Billy Graham, what? Not only was he going to win the title back, but he would be reigning Intercontinental Champion going into the match and have a title-for-title match.
Get the fuck out of
and
here.
And Billy Graham would win the title.
Okay, I had you had me at Rick. Ricky Steamboat winning. Look, I love Billy Graham. I love Kung Fu Billy Graham. The ironic part of me really, really wants that to happen. But overall, but the realistic part of me does not want to see Kung Fu Billy Graham win the title again.
And like, Kevin Sullivan's his idea behind it was karate was big back then at that time, and that's
Karate
why,
Kid.
That's why Ricky Steamboat would be the champ, and Billy Graham would win the title.
Oh, so everybody, so we have we'd have a karate based yeah. program. Interesting. Yeah. That's very interesting, but I'm glad it did not happen.
Yeah.
Although I did wish that Ricky Steamboat at least had an honest chance. I mean, but again, he was around when Hogan was champion. He's pretty much his entire first tenure was Hogan was champion. And then he came back and Hogan was champion again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he really, I mean, he was only there when Hogan was champion, I think. So he had no chance for him unless if like, you know, because I was thinking about this, like, he didn't, well, if you had he come back a little bit earlier, he might have been able, okay, because Warrior had the belt. Warrior lost it to Slaughter.
He could have had a mini program with Slaughter.
Well, that's it. You could have had a program with Slaughter. He could have came back and found a way to put that in there. But I think the plan was all along for Hogan to get the belt back because of Warrior not drawing as well as Hogan would have. So, man, yeah, no, that's kind of a bummer because I like Ricky Steamboat a lot. So
I feel like Ricky Steamboat, like after Hogan left, like he could have been, if he was still around like in the 90s, like the later 90s, he could have been in the mix.
Yeah.
But
after 93?
Yeah.
I mean, he was doing really well. I think he had a lot going on in WCW that there was really no reason. I mean, I think maybe at some point, I think he may have left at some point, but by the time that happened, he got hurt.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing. He got hurt and he had to stop wrestling, but he had a good program with Steve Austin going on in WCW.
Pretty much.
But I feel like if he was healthy and then after that program, he went to WWF, he could have been in the mix with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. Who else was in the title mix of that? It's really those two. Diesel.
Wait, you're talking about 95, 96? Like,
yeah.
I mean, there basically it was Brett, Yoko, I mean, Luger, if you want to say. I mean, shit. I mean, he would have been a better option than Luger.
Yeah, I feel like he could have had a chance then if he would have stayed healthy.
Oh, man. But, Ricky Steamboat versus Yokozuna at SummerSlam 93.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. That's where I still can't get over the fact that they just didn't flat out just put the title on Luger at SummerSlam 93. Like, that was such a lame thing that he wins by count out and we're all supposed to be happy about that after he fucking slammed him on a goddamn boat. I remember that happening. And I remember like somebody told me like it was like, oh my God, Sean, you won't believe this, but like, you know, it was like my dad or something. It was like, oh, you know, because you didn't really know about that shit until it happens. You know, it's like, oh, Lex Luger showed up and he took off his shirt and he beat Yokozuna up and he slammed him on a boat.
And then he showed up at Arby's and I got his autograph.
is that where the Lex Express stopped?
Yeah, it was at Arby's.
Was it a new Arby's?
No, it was just Arby's.
Well, let's talk about some other stuff in this book here. I just wanted to. There's a few letters here I wanted to point out. I just do like the title of this one. It just it's about Jack Tunney being inconsistent. It's just called Tunney Aches. I rather enjoyed that.
That's a good title.
That's a great title. I wonder if you got this. Actually, if Sue Sachs could mention, did you guys make those up, or did some people submit their own? Sometimes, you know, you just have to, if you got a good pun, you know, you bring it in. But I do want to point out this one letter here. This is a great letter. The Perfect Thief? Have you ever wondered where Kurt Hennig gets all of those towels from? He doesn't buy them from your average stores. He swipes them from the Holiday Inn. The proof being where apparently Susie Scott from Reynoldsburg, Ohio, was at a show at in Columbus, and he apparently the towel got flung into the crowd, and it had a Holiday Inn insignia on it. Because shame on you, Mr. Perfect. Can't you afford to buy your own towels on your hefty WWF salary?
Well, it makes sense. Looking at the towel, I could see it's like a hand towel you'd get into your hotel room. So
yeah. Hey, you know what? If the WWF in 1991 had to make some sacrifices and they had to cut back on the towel budget, you know, you got to find ways to save money.
Yeah.
So that's what they did.
So you took the Holiday Inn towel. Big deal.
Took a Holiday Inn towel. He should have. They could have. Maybe he could have took the robe. You could start wearing that. Just comes to the ring. Just starts throwing mouthwash to. There's a wrestler that comes to the ring. Starts throwing mouthwash to the kids.
Little soaps.
Man, how great would that have been if like Tugboat was like, hey kids, have some soap. Actually, if there's a WWF face in 1991 that would be doing that, it would be 1991 that would do that. That would be Tugboat. Tugboat would definitely be throwing soaps and mini mouthwashes and the shampoos.
The conditioners, yeah.
I'd be so pissed if I couldn't get a shampoo and a conditioner. So what's happening in the ring? We got Diamond Dallas Page. He is back in NWA, and he is with the Freebirds, and he's helping them get one up on Doom. Wow. They haven't lost the titles. Doom hasn't lost the titles yet, but they are close to doing so. So, DDP, a young DDP from 1991 here with a nice... I like those glasses.
Yeah.
Something about those glasses. I appreciate them.
He's got like just like motorcycle visor glasses. Then it looks like he bedazzled some rhinestones on the bottom of them. They look great.
He bedazzles everything.
Yeah. BDDP. Bedazzled DDP.
BDDP.
Yeah.
I also want to point out this little tidbit here. Mexican superstars Conan and Ultraman have invaded the WWF. Conan has also been offered a contract to compete in the new Global Wrestling Federation. Well, I don't believe that actually happened. I know Conan was obviously considered multiple times for roles in the WWF, including the original Max Moon. Ultraman, I don't know who that is.
Neither do I.
Ooh, something for us to research. Honky Tonk Man showed up at the UWF television tapings in New York to attack his former tag team partner, Greg Valentine, who, in a bit of wrestling trivia here, says... attacked Valentine with a guitar after Valentine defeated young Mike Durham, aka Johnny Grunge, RIP. So apparently there was a thing where Honky was like in an actual interview, or not an actual interview, somebody wrote this. They said basically Honky or Valentine wanted to be in the groove and he couldn't get in the groove. He dyed his hair for you though, man.
Sure did. And then I think Honky later showed up at the Royal Rumble, so this feud, I guess, never really materialized.
Which Rumble?
The one that was prior to this taping, this issue coming out.
What, 1990?
Yeah, remember Valentine showed up at that Rumble?
In 90 he was, yeah, because he was wrestling Ronnie Garvin.
No, 91, I mean.
He was in 91, yeah, but he was already, Rhythm Blues was already done.
Yeah, so Greg Valentine came back and wrestled in the Rumble.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
That's right.
That was his little face run that he had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was like a lot of like micro firings.
Yeah.
Like with Valentine and like Nikolai Volkoff and stuff like that. Like they got let go and they come back so they can just do jobs.
Yeah. So yeah, he came back in 91 and he was a face and he even had theme music.
He did. He lost a bunch of matches though too.
Yeah, he didn't do much. And then he left and went to WCW and became a heel again.
He was a U.S. Tag Champion.
Yeah, with the tailor-made man.
That's right.
It was awesome.
WCW 1992 Saturday Night is up on the
sure
network
is.
Too. I watched a few of those.
Finally, we got some Saturday Nights up there.
I'm looking forward to getting some of those. I want to get to 98 so I can kind of have that as a companion piece to the stuff I'm watching, but we got a ways to go. Last thing here I want to point out, Tony Rumble Picture of Tony Rumble, the IWCCW manager, with young Taz splayed out on some steps while being dragged by the throat on a rope. There's a...
Now that we brought up this Honky Tonk Man incident, I'm going to go back to that.
Okay.
So Honky Tonk Man at the time prior to that incident in the UWF, he was just doing commentary on superstars. He wasn't even wrestling anymore.
Yeah, he stopped wrestling.
And then he just kind of disappeared, and I never knew what happened to him. Now I know. He showed up in the Herb Abrams UWF.
That's where everybody went. If you were a shitball wrestler in the 90s, that's where you showed up. Or yeah. Late 80s, 90s, that's you were there. You had to be there because...
But then his Hasbro figure came out.
This was a rare one, wasn't it?
It wasn't rare per se. It wasn't featured on the back of the packaging of like the wrestlers that came out in that series. But then it came out and then it was featured on the back of the package.
Right, but the whole mystery wasn't the whole mystery where the Honky Tonk came out because they produced it and it's been found multiple places. But the Rhythm and Blues Valentine. Apparently, because I mean... Fucking Zack Ryder is all over that shit.
Yeah, we should listen to his podcast. But I had the Honky Tonk Man, and I had the regular Greg Valentine with the blonde hair.
Yeah, that one was easy to get.
Yeah.
But, I'm trying to think of this here. Oh, so let's go through a few other odds and ends here.
The time capsule's pretty cool. I like that photo of the one-man gang with Jim Cornette. I didn't know that Jim Cornette ever managed the one-man gang.
It was very early in his career, from 1985, so.
And then you have a softball photo of Dusty Rhodes wearing a thong for whatever reason.
Well, he's wearing his trunks,
mm-hmm.
but it looks like he's wearing a very small bikini brief because the shirt is covering it. He's... for some reason, he opted to not wear pants, which apparently, from what I understand, Dusty was very fond of doing.
Yeah.
If you listen to Tony Schiavone's podcast, Dusty Rhodes did not like pants.
He was
there, or underwear, specifically.
It was a celebrity softball game with wrestlers against the 1982 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
This is weird because it's Florida-based, but Jerry Lawler is there. Looking very bored.
Yeah.
He's kind of just standing there, no selling this this Dusty Rhodes here thing here. And Dusty's just standing there with his no pants. And then you got B. Brian Belair looking actually pretty swole.
Yeah.
For 1982 B. Brian Belair. We got some other... Yeah, there's other pictures here too.
I like the one photo over here with the Heenan family being interviewed by Gordon Solie. And they have the kitchen sink.
Well, this is from Georgia, actually. Mm-hmm. So this is... Blackjack Lanza, Mass Superstar, and Killer Carl Cox. And they have Killer Carl Cox has a literal kitchen sink.
Yeah.
Just holding it. And then there's this picture that I've seen a million places. It is Moondog Maine swallowing a goldfish. So there you go. That's some of those good pictures here. I did want to maybe take a look real quick here at. One of my favorite features in these 1990s NWA or PWI books, the arena reports. Actually, they've had these for a while, but I like seeing these because you get to see some random-ass house shows that just happened. Two quick things. I want to know...
Who's wrestling in Alaska? The WWF?
Well, yeah, let's see what they got in 1990, in December 1990. So it's a very cold... It's a very cold event.
It's in Anchorage.
Anchorage. So you got Davey Boy beat Buddy Rose. Slaughter beat Duggan with help from General Adnan. Kerry Von Erich beat Kurt Hennig by disqualification. Coco Beware beat Black Bart. LOD beat the Orient Express and Mr. Fuji. And then Hogan pinned Earthquake. So Hogan making the trek up to Alaska to beat Earthquake.
That kind of surprises me.
That's a pretty good show.
I figured the main event would have been the Rockers and the Conquistadors.
Yeah, there's actually quite a bit of star power.
Yeah.
In that event. And that was mostly these matches that were going on, because I think like the other end of it was like Savage. I'm trying to think. I saw a few other of these. Yeah, a lot of Hogan and Earthquake on these cards. And then Savage and Warrior also wrestling a lot. You know, Chicago got that. This is the NWA card that interested me because I want to know who some of these people are. I'm just assuming they're just random-ass jobbers and from Florida. But the Minotaur pinned Tim Horner. I want to know who the Minotaur is. This is NWA 1990. Motor City Madman, who I am aware of, pinned the Iron Priest. And then we also have a match that was going around the horn here in the NWA. Luger and Tom Zink against Stan Hansen and Big Cat, a.k.a. Mr. Hughes. That sounds like a good slobber knocker of a fight. And especially, you know, if you got Stan Hansen involved, he's whipping his kids with his U.S. with his championship belts and everything. We're all having a party.
You got a Nikita Koloff School of Wrestling ad.
Cool. I missed this.
Yeah. I didn't see it either till just now.
This is a very actually confusing ad because not only can you be trained by Nikita himself, you can also join him on a Sun Fun Fitness cruise. Cruise with Nikita on board the ultimate cruise ship, The Fantasy, to the Bahamas, April 26, 1991. Special rates with special workout programs along with your fun ship cruise.
So Nikita Koloff was doing wrestling cruises long before Chris Jericho came up with this idea.
But he was working. He wasn't doing matches.
Oh.
That's what Jericho... You know, I would love it if there were matches on here, because then we would have to take a picture of this. And I could get this to Jericho if I want. I feel like I could find a way to get this so Jericho would see it. And that would ruin his day. I feel like there's an opportunity for that to happen. But sadly, no. I believe that we are sans matches. However, though, Nikita Collectibles, check this out here. We got a tank top, a T-shirt, a fan club membership for $20 for 1 year. That includes an official membership card, button, personal profile, and 4 to 6 newsletters. If anybody has any of these Nikita Koloff newsletters, you let me know. A color photo, a gym jacket for $60. I am I'm into that. A personalized workout. So that's only $2.95, but I'm assuming you basically just get like a variation of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then for $30, you can get a personal phone call from Nikita himself. So Nikita Koloff will call you for $30 in 1991. But
he'll probably call you collect.
He's calling you collect. He probably wasn't doing as much though. Shortly after this, though, because he was making some extra cash. He did get back to the NWA or WCW like a month after this. So, you know, he's not going to call you anymore. Last but not least, I wanted to point out in this Arena Reports, Providence, Rhode Island. Let's check out this card. So Savage beat Warrior on top. Saba Simba beat Black Bart. Shane Douglas beat Buddy Rose. Rockers beat Power and Glory. Rick Martel beat Dusty Rhodes, which I find to be an interesting match. I feel like I want to see that match.
Yeah, that sounds great. Rick Martel and Dusty Rhodes. Yeah.
So an arrogance era Rick Martel and a flip a common man Dusty Rhodes. I feel like that's just a good combo. And he did win using arrogance. Legion of Doom beat Orient Express and Fuji. Big Boss Man pinned Bobby Heenan. So I know Bobby Heenan did do a little bit of wrestling, but that sounds... I want to see that match too.
It was probably a squash match.
It was probably a squash. It was probably, or maybe it wasn't a squash match. Maybe it was just a lot of fake, fake weapon match where like he does that thing where he hides something in the singlet and pokes Boss Man.
I just saw another card I want to point out.
Oh, let's talk about it.
This happened in Canada, and we had it again. Opening match: Dustin Rhodes pinned Steve Lombardi.
Okay.
Then Big Boss Man pinned Bobby Heenan.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. It happened twice. They were doing that on tour, I guess. You had Superfly Jimmy Snuka with a small package win over Haku. You had an arm wrestling contest between Davey Boy Smith and the Warlord, and it was declared a no contest. Roddy Piper beat Intercontinental Champion Kurt Hennig by countout. Sergeant Slaughter pinned Duggan. The Hart Foundation beat Demolition. Hulk Hogan and Tugboat beat Dino Bravo and Earthquake.
That's a good 1991 card right there.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So
that is that.
That is our Arena Reports, but let's finish up here. Let's talk about
Let's give our ratings.
Give our ratings here. So we got the top 10, Ultimate Warrior, Ric Flair, who wasn't ranked last issue, but now he's back up on top. Luger, who is U.S. champ, Kurt Hennig, Sting, Savage, Hogan. Hogan's number 7. Piper, who is the number 1 contender to the IC title because he was fighting Kurt Hennig a bunch. Sergeant Slaughter, who is the number 4 contender to the title, so the WF title. So he went from... I feel like in a matter of a week, he went from being the fourth contender to being the top contender.
Yeah.
which is something. Because obviously Kurt Hennig would be the number one contender, but then you got Savage and Hogan. Why didn't they have Savage wrestle Ultimate Warrior? Were they really saving that for WrestleMania? Would you think that was just like they were going to save that for WrestleMania? I don't know I think I know why. Because if you give Savage the belt, that means you have to have Hogan beat him for it. Because Hogan was getting that belt back no matter what.
Yeah.
So I think they just needed to put Slaughter in there, and they would just went crazy with him.
Yeah.
In that time period.
But it worked.
And it worked.
It worked for me.
And Terry Funk is the new USWA champion. Great picture of Terry Funk here with a great. First of all, looking ripped.
Yeah.
Like it's you only see his shoulders, but you could tell he's in some good shape, and he's got a nice head of hair. So yeah,
looking young.
God damn, I'm young.
Young. He's probably pushing 50.
When we were doing the Mayhem, he called me to confirm an interview. I had a voicemail from Terry Funk for a long time, and it was enjoyable.
This is Terry Funk, Sean, calling to call about confirming the interview with the Big Mosh.
It was a good interview. I enjoyed it. Yeah, and our ratings are...
Yeah, and the AWA is off in the...
Yeah, fuck AWA. We're taking you off or putting...
Yeah, it's right above Georgia and the Ladies Professional Wrestling Association.
Well, this is pretty... It's kind of sad because you got NWA, WWF, USWA, PNW. Then you got UWF and IWCCW as the main ones. But UWF doesn't have a championship, doesn't have a title holder yet.
Neither does the IWCCW.
Neither does the IWCCW, and neither does the AWA.
Yeah.
And then you get down, even further down, the SAPW doesn't have a title holder, neither does WWC. So you got like a lot of vacant titles here.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad. I mean, for a sad state of wrestling in 1992.
I would put WWC in here. I'd probably bump this out.
PNW?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why Puerto Rico never got their due in the main ratings.
I would put them above UWF, IWCCW, PNW. I would put WWC over there.
Here's the thing. I can understand. Here's the thing. 1991, UWF and IWCCW, this is Northeast shit.
Yeah.
So, and you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the aftermags gravitate, you know, it being based in like Philly and Pennsylvania and, you know, the Northeast, it gravitated towards that, you know, at least in this time. So you're going to see these being featured more so than the World Wrestling Council. Although the World Wrestling Council, I felt, definitely deserved better in terms of the ratings. I'm just going to put that out there. So
yeah,
WWC. I mean, you got Carlos Colon. Greg Valentine was there too. Greg Valentine was everywhere back in the day, in 1991. You had Scott Hall back there. It was a party. Also, just looking at this SAPW, which was South Atlantic Pro Wrestling. I noticed the first person ranked is Paul Jones, RIP Paul Jones.
Oh, yeah, he passed away on our break, too.
He did.
Yeah, we did post something on our Facebook page for him, though.
Yeah, RIP Paul Jones. Yeah. Since we're in here, Robert Fuller's there. You got Ivan Koloff, Vince Torelli, a.k.a. Ken Shamrock.
Oh.
Curtis Thompson, a.k.a. Firebreaker Chip. Bobby Fulton, Colt Steele, Tommy Seabolt, Tex Salinger, a.k.a. Phineas I. Godwin. And Jackie Fulton. Yeah. And then, last but not least, I have nothing to say.
Yeah. We're good.
We got a random picture of Bree Brian Belay. We're talking about some stuff in here. I thought there was something else in here.
And
but,
a photo of the Black Scorpion.
Which is a weird photo because he's like,
yeah.
Is he pulling off a mask or what is he doing in that photo?
Who knows?
It looks stupid. Yeah. Black Scorpion is stupid. Well, that's it.
That's it. That's our book.
That's our book.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated 91. No centerfold in this issue.
No, there is. It's in the back.
Oh, it is?
It's Arn Anderson.
Oh, why didn't we say that? Career close-up Arn Anderson. Look at that photo. Classic Arn Anderson. He's got he's just classic wrestling pose looking at the camera. I love it.
I wish I had a beard game like Arn Anderson.
I'm going to hang this up in my bedroom.
You should.
And my girlfriend's going to have to deal with it.
In the second bedroom.
Yeah.
That's where the video games are gonna be played.
So when I had my house, I hung up a bunch of wrestling posters in my bedroom, or no, in my kitchen.
Yeah.
And Lauren thinks that I threw those photos out. Little does she know, they are in my storage. They're in a folder, and they will be displayed in my second bedroom.
It's just being a folder just labeled art.
Yeah.
Because, God damn it, those pictures are art.
And Arn Anderson will be joining those photos.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see this shrine to kayfabe wrestling magazines.
Yeah. It might be on the back of the door, but they're going to be hung up one way or another.
It's just a big collage of Arn Anderson and was it Ken Shamrock? What else did you have? Like that Shawn Michaels poster?
Shawn Michaels. I had Goldberg.
Nice.
I had Earthquake, the Warlord.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because it was that one random non-afterbag that we read that has had a picture of, like, a poster of the Warlord in it, because, God damn it, the Warlord never got his due.
Yeah.
He was downhill from that introduction.
That was the best introduction ever.
That was the best introduction ever.
You're big. Want to be a wrestler? Yeah. First name's War. Last name's Lord.
Last name Lord. I'm Baby Doll. I spotted you from across the street. You want to be a wrestler? All right. Come on. Let's go. Yeah. Good stuff. That's why wrestling magazines are great. And that's why we do this book. So,
yeah.
Do these books. So thanks again for listening, folks. You can find us on Facebook.
Like us on Facebook. I Can Talk Kayfabe. I'm on Instagram and Twitter, Sweatpants Joe.
And I'm at Angry Hero Sean, Twitter and Instagram. And of course, please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts if you think we deserve it. Rate and review. And rate and review the show wherever you get it. We're on all the platforms, including Spotify.
We're on Stitcher. We're on
SoundCloud.
Are we on iHeartRadio? Is that a podcast app yet?
It is, but it.
Probably not on there. If you're listening to us on something else, just keep listening to us there. You don't need to. Yeah, but if we're on iHeartRadio and you're listening to us on iHeartRadio, please let us know on Twitter that you heard us on iHeartRadio, and that would be cool. But I don't think we're on that.
That would be dope. So thanks again, folks, for listening. Who are we going to talk about here?
I guess we'll talk about Hulk
Hogan, brother.